Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
498th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. The guys just dropped their bonus behind-the-scenes episode of Sean winning $200,000. Plus, this week's pick'em prize is a free $250 Super Bowl square. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. to join today.
Heidi, Heidi, ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 498 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network as we race towards episode 500, where I'm going to quit because I'm tired of making bad picks on bad UFC events. So two more episodes after this, and then I'm hanging it up and Gumby's coming with me. Let's dedicate this one to Natalia Silva, one of the very few bright lights last night. One of the few fighters that actually was interested in and did well last night at UFC fight night, Dilizi versus Imabov. I'm one of your host, Jeff Chalks Fox. Thanks for coming to the show. Our picks were mediocre. The event was mediocre. Hopefully, as you are seeing this in your pod feed, you'll see this episode is not too long. So I don't want to waste too much time on the garbage that was last night. Maybe it wasn't. I get sour on events if they start off poorly for me and if I have some bad beats. So maybe it wasn't such a bad event. Who's to say? But I could ask my co-host. He's the positive half of the duo, but he did pretty bad last night as well. But we'll see if he has a silver lining on anything. It would be the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I don't have too much of a silver lining, and I'm actually going to be even more of a bummer for you.
Hey, that's fine.
Yeah, who loves an episode where Gumby's the bummer? Did you think Natalia Silva was that good after that? Like, did you watch that performance and make you think, like, oh, yeah, she's definitely a challenger? Like, I watched that performance, and I'm like, it's really good she beat Vivi Arroyo, right? That's a huge win. It means she's probably one of the top 7 or 8 fighters in the women's flyweight division, no doubt. But she also dropped the first round, never really, like, turned it up and put it on Vivi. Like, she won. You know, she comfortably won the second and third round. I didn't go to the decision and have me questioning things. But she was a negative 330 favorite in some books going into that fight. Did she come out looking like the negative 330 favorite that people thought she was going to be against Vivi?
Well, we said the odds, but we weren't a fan of the odds. So first of all, so the odds were skewed. I think she looked real good. Maybe she got hit a bit too often for my liking. But yeah, she fast, explosive.
Took her a little too long to find the range. I think that's maybe okay. My biggest bummer of her is that, like, yep. You know, dropping the first round to Vivi, and not that Vivi's a bad opponent. Like, we shouldn't be, like, here knocking Vivi Arroyo because she's, you know, she's really good in her own right. She's had some great wins in the UFC, and for a while it looked like she was a challenger. So, you know, I'm not knocking her as a potential win. I'm just saying, you know, like the collective public and especially the betting public had Natalia Silva a lot better than she looked there before the fight. So, you know, like, not that she didn't look good. She didn't win. She wasn't one of the picks that we got right. But, you know, if I was looking for a bright spot, I'm not sure I could have pointed to her.
Well, tough. I picked her anyhow. No, we said right off, like I said, we said in our episode that we didn't think she was worthy of -330, but she passed the test. That's I think maybe that's the key thing here. And she does have pretty good power for women's flyweight. So,
she does.
Who would you like to see her fight next? Since we're breaking out her fight already, do you have anyone in mind?
It seems like Lauren Murphy is in a fight with the UFC brass. This is just my inkling because she was scheduled for a fight or there was a fight announced. Maybe this is another case of the UFC announcing a fight when they didn't get anybody to
probably
sign on the line. Cause that seems to be the new trend. So, I'm not blaming Lauren Murphy for this. In fact, I'm probably blaming the UFC for this, but it seems like she's in a fight with UFC brass because recently she had a fight booked. It might have even been this one for the record. She had a fight booked and then all of a sudden she said, I'm not in that fight. And they pulled her from the rankings.
Yeah. It's
like, she's not ranked right now, but like, that's the right kind of test for Natalia Silva, right? Like if they really want to see if Natalia Silva's ready for the Blanchfields and the Manon Firos and the, you know, everybody else at the top of this division, she's got to get by somebody who, not that Vivian Rio's not tough, but somebody with like, you know, top level toughness like Lauren Murphy, because there's pretty much no flyweight tougher than Lauren Murphy. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not wrong about that. So hopefully she's still employed by the UFC though. We'll have to see. You don't cross the boss. All right. Well, there you go. We already got one fight down, so that's good. Gumby. Well, we're going well here. Of course, we're talking about UFC Fight Night, Dalizzi versus Imavov. Yet another middleweight main event. I didn't get a chance
to 2 weeks count in a row.
I know. Didn't get a chance to count, but this is pretty much where they stick middleweights. Main events of mediocre Apex cards. So, and it was a mediocre fight, the main event, was it not? With a weird scorecard in the end. Roman Dalizzi did not look good. He looked horrible the whole fight, yet someone gave him a draw, thanks to a Nasser Nemovov losing a point. Little Ron McCarthy. I think he is he not the son of Big John McCarthy?
I don't. Is he really?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I think Ron McCarthy is an old dude, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, really?
Okay. Yeah, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
But... nope, it's his son. I'm right.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, Ron and John.
That's great.
And his Twitter is Big Ron McCarthy. So he really is leaning in. He's really leaning into that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Anyhow. Yeah, interesting scorecard, but it was the right person won. 49-44, 47-47, 48-46. All Dalizzi could do was hug Imavov, and literally that's all he was doing was hugging him. Didn't get anything going. I knew Imavov would be better on the feet, slightly better, but I thought Dalizzi's power would be better, but that was not the case. Imavov was really piecing him up on the feet, illegal blows and all. So Gumby had this one right. He had Imavov -160.
All-time crazy illegal blow, by the way.
He clearly had his hand down. His hand down was forever. It wasn't like he was going up and down. His hand was there. He was set on the ground forever.
Yeah, it was a bad one. And I will just say, you know, like, yeah, this is kind of the... it's pretty much exactly the beat that I had on this fight to begin with. You know, like, you know, Roman Dalizzi, his clear advantage was that he is a better wrestler, or a better grappler, rather. He's better at jiu-jitsu. He's got good sweeps and transitions and stuff like that. And the one time he did pull guard, he wound up getting some stuff done on the mat. But that was kind of it, is I just knew there was no way that he could get it down there. And if you look at all of his recent wins, they're all with his hands. So it's not like he's getting fights down consistently. And so if he can't beat the guy with his hands and he can't wrestle him, I mean, there is no beating Imavov on the feet on Saturday. You know, like, that was clearly Imavov's realm, and he looked good doing it.
Does it matter? Does any of this matter? I know nothing really matters technically, but it doesn't matter near the top of the division.
It might for Imavov. I mean, like,
yeah, that's what
in the last six or seven fights, who is he lost to? Just Sean Strickland.
Yeah.
It's just Sean Strickland. So like, he might be, I mean, it's a bad division, but like, he might be a top five middleweight for all we know, right? Like, could you not see him? I mean, no offense to Dricus Duplessis, but like, Could you not see him just like picking apart Dreykus for a while? I could. Like,
maybe, who knows about Dreykus now? He might be good.
Yeah, he might actually be good, but I don't think he could wrestle Imavov. I wouldn't count on that. And like the way Imavov looked through five rounds, he looked fresher than Dreykus did in round five. Now, granted, that was round five against Sean Strickland, who turns up a pace and blah 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 blah. But like, I don't know. Like, it's a bad division, but like Imavov looked good in a bad division.
So Strickland, Imavov 2 coming to UFC Apex near you very, 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 very soon, right?
Probably.
I'm sure it would.
No, there's other people you could give. How about Marvin Vettori?
Yeah, he's another totally UFC Apex.
Marvin Vettori versus Imavov in the Apex in May. Book it.
There you go. Oh, boy. Can't wait. All right. Before we move on, let me tell you about the SGP Patreon. I try to plug this every episode, but I got actual script to plug it with now. And look, if you're on YouTube, you see there's our fearless leaders right there, Ryan and Sean. The SGP Patreon is alive and well. The guys just dropped this month's bonus episode. Behind the scenes, a breakdown of Sean's $200,000 win. I believe that was through DraftKings. This week's Patreon pick and prize is a free $250 Super Bowl square, plus access to all the picks sheet and exclusive channel on Discord. If any of that makes sense to you, head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. And we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. MMA. Don't forget about MMA, people, and MMA. And tennis. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite player's fantasy stats and cash in. You can win 100 times with some spicy plays. Gumby, do you got a spicy meatball for us?
Spicy meatball. Let me think about this one, because
we got one coming up.
We got meatball coming up. I was like, we got a meatball?
Yeah, a spicy meatball coming up.
So let's see. You're getting this in your ear on Sunday. So let's go to Sunday in the NBA. I'll take the number I saw earlier on Jalen Green's points against the Timberwolves last night was real low. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but I remember looking at it and being like, oh, that seems low. And he's been hot as of late, and he scored a lot of first buckets too, which I've been writing about too. So let's go with higher than on Jalen Green's points.
All right. Book it. He's kind of a hot and cold guy, but still, Gumby says book it. Even though the Timberwolves have the best defense in the league, Gumby says book it regardless. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over our Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code MMASGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code MMASGPN, as I throw some shade on Gumby's pick.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Right, you never like mine. And I hit mine. I hit mine on Friday. I hit mine on Friday.
Yeah.
My three.
And you hit a big opening field goal too, I saw, right?
Yeah. Michael Porter Jr., baby. 750. Yeah, so
fantastic.
Yeah, it was a good Friday.
It almost is good Friday, right? A couple months. We did not hit the co-main event. It was not a good.
We should have.
We should have. Hanada Moicano won. I forgot to watch his post-fight interview, but apparently he was unhinged. As per usual, he beat Drew Dober 29-28 across the board. I don't know. Dober did the most damage, so he won one round. I think you could have given him the first round as well. Moicano was just, there was a lot of laying on top of Dober and being warned by the ref, but not actually being stood up. So, but I don't know. I think I'm just being sour.
I think there's an argument to give the fight to Dober. I ultimately thought Moicano did just enough to win in those positions. And in the time, I mean, you just always know how the optics looks of that much time on top. You know, clearly the second was Dober's. I think he would have won the third had he not tried one more lat drop and wound up on the bottom. Like, it worked in the second round, which is dumb as hell. And he didn't recognize that it was, like, dumb as hell when he lucked out. He was like, what if I hit a second straight lat drop on Hanato Moicano? Not realizing, like, the element of surprise was the reason it worked the first time. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna say it sucks that he lost this one, but it was kind of his own fight intelligence that cost him the fight. And yeah, let's just chalk it up to that. Neither of these guys are serious threats to most of the people in the top 15.
No. No, yeah, bad fight IQ for sure. Why would you want to grapple with Hanato Moicano? But
I don't know. He was also winning in the third on the feet too. Like in the second, he was in like that tangle. And, like, had to do something to, like, change the tenor of the round. And that lat drop wound up being a big piece of why he won it, I think.
Yeah.
And so, like, but then in the third, I don't think he needed it. So to go to it just seemed like a weird move. And kind of disappointing because I think he was right on the path to winning that fight.
Yeah. Next fight, Randy Brown took care of Muslim Salikov, as we were hoping. Did not see it coming via a one-punch knockout, but so it did. 317 in the first round. If Randy Brown's got some power to go along with his massively long arms, he could make some noise, but it could be the case he's fighting an old beat-up fighter in Muslim Salikov and just caught him in the right spot. What do you think?
Yeah, I tend to think it's more of the latter than the former, but who knows? Like, sometimes we get these guys as they kind of get deeper into their career. Is Randy Brown old? Randy Brown's not old, right?
No.
Okay.
Randy Brown is 33. He was born in your neck of the woods. Do you know that?
I did know he was born there. Yeah, I don't think he lived very long there.
No, because who would want to live in that city, Gumby?
Is it Springfield?
It is Springfield, yes.
Yeah, people should know already, just in case you're looking this up on Wikipedia. I do not live in Springfield and only sort of near it.
Are you not going to Springfield today?
I'm not. I don't ever go to Springfield.
Oh, okay. I thought you're. Are you going near Springfield today?
Yes. There's a town near it that is sounds like right. It that sometimes I have to go to. yeah. I mean, I think like so he is kind of getting his like old MMA age, right? 33, not young anymore. Yep. Maybe he's getting like a little bit of that Jim Miller later career power. More focused on just sitting on his punches instead of getting on his bike. But again, I think this is probably just beating up Muslim Salikov and we should chalk it up for what it is.
Are we firing Muslim Salikov?
I think so. That's three in a row, right?
That means he snuck a win in. He beat Andre Fiallo when we were against him. So he's
when Fiallo decided he only had about 22 seconds of gas. I remember that.
Yeah. two straight and three of four he has lost. So yeah, he's fired. Sorry.
Yeah, probably. Mr. King he's probably making good money too, being that he's been there forever.
Yeah. So anyhow, interesting to see if Randy Brown can put it together. We shall see. We talked about Natalia Silva. She won unanimous decision 29-28 against Vivi Aharujo. We had that. Next fight, 11-second eye poke. Aliskhab Kizriev, eye poke, Makhmud Muradov, who you would think he would have had things going in his eye in his other job, but yet it happened to him here as well. There's the good face there. Some people know what I'm talking about. So we can't really talk about this fight. No. Nothing happened.
Or anything you've ever said. We can't talk about
that. That's one of the worst things. I didn't say what. This is probably...
It's maybe worse that you didn't.
I know. It's going to be run back, isn't it?
I don't know. Kizriev doesn't ever fight. So I mean, I bet you Muradov gets a fight again soon, but I don't know if he'll be against Kizriev. I'm sure he'll be pulled on out of 17 or 18 more fights.
What does Mikey think of it?
He hated that fight. Mikey,
he hated that fight, and he hated my joke. And then the opener of the main card, Chuck Buffalo. How could we go against Chuck? We did. I think we've gone against him every fight in the UFC, perhaps.
It's just two.
Just.
No, we didn't pick against him in the other one. We picked him in the other one because he was fighting Blood Diamond. He just looked trash. And he just looked like trash in that fight and made us get off of him. And then he turns out that he can box a little bit, which.
Yeah. Go figure. He TKO'd Gilbert Urbina, 447 in the first round. Sad. We did not have this one. We had Urbina. And Urbina was one of our. Yeah, he was your lock. Boo. Yeah, so is Buffalo good or not really?
I don't know. Okay. I wish I could tell.
Is Urbina good? No, right? Is Urbina lost two straight now?
No, he won his last fight.
Okay.
He won his last fight.
Yes, he's 1-2 now.
Yeah, he's probably got another one in him. Although this loss does look really bad after, you know, Chuck Buffalo couldn't do anything against Blood Diamond. And now he, for some reason, can against Urbina. I don't know. It seems like I still can't tell you if he's good. Because that shot, don't get me wrong, there's power on that shot. But who at welterweight can't knock somebody out with a big hand? Especially when you're, like, new to the organization. You're young and up-and-comer and they signed you. Like, obviously, you've got some, probably got some power. So, anybody seemingly could probably land one punch. So, I don't know. Nothing about his performance other than the punch made me, like, get excited about him more, right? Like, did you watch any of that? And you were like, oh, you know, like, it looks like he's polished a lot since that. Nah, he just looked like he did last time with a
polish is not the word. Polish is, I don't think polish is the word we're ever going to use for him, probably. He's not that type of fighter.
He's raw. He's raw as hell. And I don't know how well that'll play forever.
Yeah. Anyhow, we did not play so well in the main event, in the main card. 2-3 for me. And 3-2 for you. You did a bit better. So congrats, Gumby. You should be so proud. So proud. Let's pick things up and talk about our sponsors. Everything's been a bummer except for the sponsors, right? Let's tell you about Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, and they have tons of fun. Always butcher that part. Tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a real betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for dollars. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Cut also allows you to list almost any kind of bet, perfect for getting action on those fun Super Bowl prop bets. Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. What kind of odds can they get for a Taylor Swift sighting at the Super Bowl, Gumby?
-700
That's it? 700,000 maybe. All right. Hall of Fame bets, Gumby. Let's talk about them too. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. All right, spicy meatball time. She looked good too. She was a positive of the night, but who she fought though, you know, it was a lean, mean Molly McCann, Meatball Molly. For the record, she was not called Meatball because she was chubby. It's because she worked at Subway is why she was called Meatball. So anyhow, she is lean and mean now though. She looked very good physically and looked very good in the cage. Molly McCann submitted Diana Babicha, really submitted her, had her screaming in pain with the armbar. 1 second left in the first round. I think the takeaways is she looked good at strawweight, could make some noise at strawweight if she can keep cutting down there and looking solid in the cage, but it's not a big deal beating Diana Balbicha, who she already beat before and who is 2-5 now.
It has huge issues with her grappling. Huge issues. Yeah.
2-5 in the UFC, and I'm going to fire her too, despite her training near me. So she's fired. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where like the UFC gave Molly McCann the right kind of opponent coming down to strawweight. Clearly, they like the marketing behind her, right? She's a Barstool sponsored athlete or whatever. So like, I know that they like her and they'd like to see her keep winning. So they gave her the right kind of person for her to build something. And she did what she was supposed to. But I will say, I do really think the move to strawweight wound up being a really good one, because she looks, you know, she looks ripped. She looks like she's in great shape. She didn't look emaciated on the scale. Not that she didn't look like, you know, it probably took some hard work to get there, but like, she looked like she was still in good shape then. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Molly McCann does down there.
Yeah, definitely. And they even mentioned in the lead up to the hype for the fight that she's one of the most, one of the top fan favorite fighters in the UFC. So they have always, almost always given her favorable matchups. So, all right, moving on. This was not a favorable matchup. It started off like it was. This fight almost ended immediately, as that Maxim looked fantastic against Charles Johnson until he didn't. And Charles Johnson, the Stolen Valor Olympian, won this fight, flyweight, 29-28 across the board. Surprise.
It was a surprise, but it's interesting to see how, like, Maxim, like you said, came out so strong, and that's kind of all he had, because that didn't happen in the Tyson Nam fight, right? Like, the Tyson Nam fight was another kind of, like, weird anomaly where he, like, looked really great in some moments and not in others, but this one just seemed like he almost ran out of steam, or, like, the wily veteran started to figure him out too much. So, yeah, obviously a big ding in the prospect status of Azat Maxim.
I already had, like, the stories written in my head how he's going to join the Tetsuya Taira field of top prospects. And not yet, but he was on his way to that. And then, yeah, he was not.
Yeah, I thought he was on the Tetsuya Taira kick as well. And I've said it time and time again with, like, young 20-something fighters and coming from countries who, like, the UFC doesn't have a ton of people in, and it happens to be in a division that's really light. Like, he had all of the makings of the kind of guy they would push, right? Not a ton of guys from Japan out there that they can push. That's why Tyra's getting the push. Not a lot of guys from it's Uzbekistan, right? I'm not messing that up.
Yeah, sounds
right. Or no, Kazakhstan. Mahmud Muradov's Uzbekistan. Kazakhstan. Not a ton of Kazakh fighters who are making it to the tippity top. So, like, of course they want to push him. And he definitely gave them a reason not to. So, kind of upsetting for him.
Do we know why Charles Johnson has Olympic rings on his back? Have we talked about this before?
I don't think so. I don't think I even noticed it.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about it in the Discord too. Upper back. So, yeah,
maybe Junior Olympics. Olympic, the Junior Olympics seem like an easier thing to make.
Yeah, I guess. Themba Greenbo perhaps is a star on the rise. Definitely has the story behind him. He came through for me, Adam, at -250. Gumby had Pete Rodriguez, who's, I mean, I assume Gumby's going to fire after getting knocked out. Punch behind the ear, 32 seconds into the fight by Grimbo.
I don't know that you can fire him, though. Here's the thing. Is it like, he did lose in, what, 30 seconds to Themba? But apart from that, like, we haven't seen him fight somebody who we, like, had to think about the outcome for more than 15 seconds, right? Yeah. It's like, a fight with Jack Della Maddalena, you couldn't have possibly expected him to win that. And I think that one was short notice, too. A fight with Mike Jackson, you couldn't have possibly thought he was going to lose that. And so, like, this is the first time we've had a fight where you were like, 99% of the people didn't get the projection correct, right? Like, maybe only 75 or 80% got it correct this time. So, like, I still think you got to give him, you know, somebody a little bit lower down in the rankings than Themba, and we'll see what happens. You know, it maybe give him. How about him versus Urbina in a loser leaves home match?
Sure, Gumby, it should be noted he's one of the 20% who did not get this pick.
I am correct. So, that's correct.
We both didn't get the next one right. It was a bad night for us picking dogs. We both swung and missed on all our dogs. Blake Builder did not look good against.
Looked bad.
Young,
really bad.
Young Lee. Daniel Carmody was flabbergasted that Lee has a brother with almost the same name. It totally threw him off. And yeah, he's such a buffoon.
I don't think I heard that part.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Zhang Young Lee and Zhang Hyung Lee. And that, like, blew his mind. Anyhow, Blake Builder got what he deserved for not having the nickname The, and lost 30-27 across the board. Maybe Lee is actually good. I was questioning him due to, you know, having not seen a lot. Well, we've seen him on road too, but that's not the highest level of competition, and possibly a shaky resume, but maybe he's actually good because he looked really good last night.
The takedowns impress me. You know, his wrestling game in general, both offensively and defensively, was really impressive. And it should be noted, Blake Builder historically has been pretty good on the mat. Obviously, it didn't show in this fight, but maybe that's more of a feather in Jiang Yong Lee's cap than we had previously thought. So I'm going to give it up to him at this point.
And the fighter, the fire is under Blake Builder's feet now because he's lost two straight. So, all right, catchweight, Luana Carolina, the cheater, came in overweight, 128. And then she beat our girl, not our girl, but our pick, Julia Stolyarenko. TKO'd her with punches, 452 into the third round. We were saying we really hope Stolyarenko could get this to the ground. Apparently we were wrong in that aspect because it got to the ground and she was content to play off her back, and Carolina just took it to her.
I think she was exhausted. I think this was a case of, you know, originally I'd said Stolyarenko didn't look so bad at flyweight, and like maybe that's the right place for her. I kind of pegged her sort of like we feel about Molly McCann after the fact here. But I think this is the case. She doesn't belong at this weight class, or needs to do more work to get her body ready to fight at this weight class, because she looked tired.
Well, she was fighting a bantamweight, to be fair. So
that is fair. Yeah, a bantamweight versus a flyweight for the most part. Yep. Yeah.
Markel Medeiros, we had this one right. He looked good. Unanimous decision over Landon Quinones, 29-28, across the board. My lock, the one, here's another bright spot for me. This is my lock pick of the week, and I hit it. Minus 130.
Yeah, I would say I cannot stress this enough. I really hope they give Landon Quinones another fight. You know, 0-2 in the UFC, but like two very closely contended decisions to Nasrat Haqparast and Markel Medeiros, mostly taking place on the feet, both very exciting fights. Like, man, that dude really deserves one more shot. It's too bad he had such an awful showing on The Ultimate Fighter too. Like it almost feels like he could have beaten a lot of the dudes on that show, and he for some reason grappled with Jason Knight, which was really dumb and didn't work out for him. So I mean, kind of fun fight, but exactly what I was thinking there with Medeiros is that I thought he was just gonna be the slightly sharper dude on the feet, and I think he was here. I heard some people complaining about the decision. Did you think the decision was wacky here?
It was a close fight is all I really have to say about that, but nothing. I don't think anyone really won last night that shouldn't have. Some of the scorecards might have been wacky, but I think the right man or woman won every fight, so no.
I agree with that.
People like to complain, Gumby, if you haven't noticed. All right, in the opener, sloppy heavyweight battle. But you were kind of about calling these guys chunky guys. They are chunky guys, Gumby.
Yeah, they look bigger than they were the last time I saw both.
Very chunky last night. Jamal Pogues was way faster on the feet, way faster striking than Thomas Peterson. Beat him 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. We had Peterson. It's Gumby's fault because he interviewed Pogues and obviously gave him the motivation he needed to win this fight.
Yeah, he talked about wanting to fight in chicken coops again.
Fought
in chicken coop.
Last week's top trader was very good. I forgot to tell you that. And very good interviews, especially Jamal Pogues. He had good
stuff. Yeah, he's great. That dude rules. So it was good to see him win. I mean, I think I even said in the breakdown episode, I wish I could pick him to win because I really do like him. So it was nice to see him win. It was interesting to see how his wrestling defense held up, because I thought Peterson's wrestling was just kind of going to be too good for him, and it definitely wasn't. Peterson also landed some big shots, so like maybe there's some promise for him in the future. We don't have to necessarily completely write him off, but like you said, it was an opening fight between heavyweights.
Yeah, which means they're really, if they can't put them any higher on the card, that means they're really borderline UFC heavyweights. If UFC likes to put
heavyweights, although that puts Pogues at 2-1 in the UFC, right?
Yeah, look out. But yeah, I just wish athletes would look like athletes and actually take care of their bodies and stuff. But nonetheless,
you want them all to look like Nikola Jokic?
No, I want them to look like Jokic. Exactly. Gumby got me there, didn't he? Zing. All right. We both went 5-7, Gumby. Wow. That's not even mediocre. That's worse than mediocre. I lost 472. Gumby lost 450. So Gumby is better. In the lead.
Better.
On the season. We're both at 46% on the year. We're doing fantastic there. Gumby's only down 16% return on investment. I'm down 18%. So there you go.
And this is blindly putting $100 on every money line.
Yes, don't do
and
that.
And we would advise the betting public not to do that.
Yes. Locke, Urbina, Gumby had, he lost that. He had Murdov as his dog. That did not happen. He had Peterson inside the distance. That definitely did not happen. I have Medeiros as Milak. Hooray, the one bright spot. I have Murdov as my dog. And I have McCann via decision. That's fine. She took care of Belbicha quicker than that. So consensus on the year, we're only at 43%. Underdogs, we're both down money on underdogs. Things have to pick up. And we have a
first time.
There's time and there's a big event coming up. We can, after I tell you about the bonus winners last night, Charles Johnson as that Maxim fight of the night, Randy Brown, Molly McCann performance of the night. And there's a big event next week for us to, or this coming week for us to get our money back. Right, Gumby? A fantastic event.
Middleweight
main event. All right. Jack Hermanson, who lost his last fight and hasn't won two fights in a row since I think 2017. He's main eventing against Joe Pyfer. At least Joe Pyfer is interesting. Dan Ige, Andre Feely, that's decent, but both guys aren't really world beaters at this point. Robert Brzyk, is that how you say it?
Brzyk
versus Albert Duraev. Brad Tavares, Gregory
Hall. Duraev pulled out of that fight.
Oh, that's right. Is that fight?
They found him a replacement. It's now Ihor Portiera. Both taking a fight on short notice and dropping down to middleweight for the first time.
What could possibly go wrong? Right? You were thinking the same way. What could possibly go wrong? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. All right. Yeah, I'm going to go off topology because they're better. Brad Tavares, Hobocop, Gregory Rodriguez. We like him at least. Michael Johnson, Darius Flowers, Rodolfo Vieira, Armin Petrosian. That's your main card, ladies and gentlemen. Prelims, it can only get better, right? Trevin Giles, Carlos Praches, Bolaje Oki, Demir Hadzovic, Luma Lukbumi, Bruno Brazil. That should be on the main card. That's a very good fight. Devin Clark, Marcin Prachnio, Jeremiah Wells, Max Griffin. That's a decent fight, actually.
That's a sick fight. That's a sick fight.
Zach Paunga, Bogdan Guskov, Haider Amil, Fernie Garcia, Daniel Marcos, Ari Keelang. Fantastic.
I just have to say it's 2024. And not only is Michael Johnson on a UFC main card in 2024, he's a favorite.
Oh, I haven't looked at the odds yet. Fantastic.
How wild is that?
I have a feeling, someone mentioned this in Discord too, we're going to be paying for the sins of UFC 299 and UFC 300 for a while, aren't we?
I think so.
Half a year, we're gonna have some weak cards, and then we got a pay per view the week after that. So, not the greatest pay per view, but it's a pay per view.
It's pretty damn good. I kind of like it.
It's all right. It's not 299 or 300. We're gonna have to have 299 versus 300 argument at some point. 299 might be better, right? Well, I guess 300 is not done yet.
So yeah. We'll see.
Wait and see.
I think they put three. Here's my quick take on it before we put this episode to bed. I think they are making 300. The better to sell to casuals version of 299. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 299, way more intriguing in terms of actual matchups and who's on it and that kind of stuff. 300, name value, sell it to casuals style.
There you go. Wait, good job, Gummy. Good job summarizing it. All right, let's get out of here. That was long enough, right? And Gummy's Wi-Fi died at least twice during the episode too, so he's gonna have fun. It's gonna be a Frankenstein episode if the video of his jumps around a bit. It's because Gummy's cutting and pasting us, right?
Just all of a sudden my face is here and then exactly. It's here.
Exactly. Gummy's not a shapeshifter. All right. Discord, get in the Discord. It was fun last night. Gumby was hiding because his picks were doing so bad. Gumby was hiding.
Nah, I went out with my wife, so I was like kind of watching cell phone, and then I had to catch up. And yeah, and plus my picks suck, so I was all.
And you're going out today too. What's with you?
I know. I'm such a social butterfly.
Yeah, it's true. All right, Discord's place to be. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Twitter. I don't know if it's a place to be. We have. Gumby and I have a lot of followers, so I guess we want you to go there. SGPN MMA, Gumby has a lot of fun with that account for us. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer there, and I'm the same on Instagram. Instagram's better than Twitter X at this point, at least less toxicity. And I see pictures of Gumby's kids once in a while, which is always fun, and his dogs, more importantly. What else can we tell you about? MoneyMMA.substack.com. That's my... MMA writings and stats and pick'em contests are all found there. People enter the pick'em contest. Hopefully I will get the results for this week up very, very shortly, and we're running again this week. So you can subscribe there for free and get yourself into the Pick'em contest. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, it's worth a listen. It's very entertaining interviews. And we told you about sportsgummypodcast.com/Patreon. Obviously, go to the main site, sportsgummypodcast.com as well. Gumby and I have articles there every day. And sportsgummypodcast.com/store. Make sure you buy your swag, your gear, so you can look cool like Gumby and I look today with our SGP hats on. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow. And guess what, people? We're going to be back Tuesday. We're giving you a bonus episode this week because Crunch feels like he's forced to watch DC and RC. So we're going to give him extra content. So hopefully he can cut the DC out of his life. It will be me, Energy, Jeff Fox, and Meatball Gumby Vreeland. And we will talk to you then. See ya.